Camp is one of these interesting places where the person who's making the decisions about the experience you're offering is not necessarily the person who is actually having those experiences. So today on the Sacred Playgrounds podcast, we're asking the question, what does the mom say, as we talk about parent data from our effective camp research? Welcome to the Sacred Playgrounds podcast, where we dive deep into theology, research, and practical wisdom for camps, retreat centers, and other key ministry spaces. I'm your host, Jared Rendell, camp enthusiast and part of the Sacred Playgrounds team. This podcast features Dr. Jake Sorensen, a scholar and practitioner who's helping leaders think more deeply about outdoor ministry and the impact it's making. Wonder with us what God might have in store at your Sacred Playground. Hey, everybody, welcome to the playground. Jake, hello, sir.
Hello, Jared.
How are you?
How am I? I am busy. There's lots of things going on, lots of irons in the fire, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Leaves are falling from the trees, so we got to get outside and do all sorts of fun stuff out there in terms of recreation, but also yard work and things like that, of course. And we got a lot going on with Sacred Playground stuff.
Yeah, we do.
We are drowning in data. I mean, I think we're keeping the heads above water. I won't say drowning. We have a lot of data and we have a lot of camps that we're working with. And so we're trying to get things turned around and get it out to the people who can make a difference in the world. So that's really exciting.
Amen. We're going to talk parents today. We're going to talk parent info. That's what's ahead, everybody. Before we do that, Jake, we got some travel coming up though, in case people are going. Can we do a quick travel rundown of where we're headed, these conferences that we're headed, in case people are coming and want to say hi?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be at the Lutheran Outdoor Ministry Conference. As you are listening to this, we are at the LOM conference in Boise, Idaho. And so looking forward to seeing a lot of our friends there. We will be at the 3CA conference in December. You're coming to that, right?
I am.
Can't wait. We get to hang out with that one together. I'm excited about that. Yeah. So so we're hanging out with our 3CA friends in December in North Carolina, and then we'll be hanging out with our United Methodist friends in January in Georgia, I want to say.
I think that's right.
And then ACA this year is in beautiful Orlando. So I think that's in February.
I think you're right.
The camping conferences, you know.
They're fun.
Yeah.
So if you are coming, if you're listening and you're coming to one of those, make sure you come by. Most of those we will have, you know, like a table set up at, or we'll be around. So you can look for the logo on our polos.
And shout out to our PCCA friends, our Presbyterian friends, who are meeting the same week as the Lutherans. Mm-hmm. And so I wish I could go to both. But yeah, it's tough to be in two places at once.
Apparently that's a thing. All right, So we are in the middle of, everybody, we're in the middle of, you know, one of our main research processes, which is the effective camp research process. Right. So this was really foundational as Sacred Playgrounds got started. And then we continue to do this year over year with individual camps and groups of camps. And both of the above kind of setups are happening this year. So the quick version, and you can see more about how all this works at sacredplaygrounds.com/services. We just launch this new kind of landing page site for all the stuff that we're doing. So you can see how this works, but the quick version of the camper and parent part of the effective camp process is there. You know, we do surveys on the way into camp, on the way out of camp, and later for campers. And then we send a parent survey as well after camp. And so then you get three reports, an initial report with some of that info. And the second one then is a parent report, which is super interesting and what we're going to focus on today. And then later you get a kind of the full data set after we've done the last of the camper surveys and all of that. So that's where we are. So we just wanted to kind of give you a heads up of where we are in this process for these ones that did this summer, for the ones that did effective camp this summer. So we just, I mean, even up to this week and literally today, are still have our heads in this parent data. But we've seen enough now to know that there's some interesting things. There are interesting things about this year as we look into years before. So we thought we'd talk about some of that.
Yeah, I think this is, I'm excited about this because the parent survey is one of my favorite tools to use in terms of evaluating camp. And it's always fun to talk with camp directors who do the parent survey and say, wow, look at the data that we have here. It's like, yes, look at the data you have here. And I encourage every single camp to do a parent survey. You know, you don't have to use us to do it. You can do your own parent survey. But if you're only surveying campers at the end of the week, you're not getting the full picture. Your primary constituents are parents. And so, I mean, say it with me. Your primary constituents are parents. These are the people who are finding your camp. They're sending their kid. They're paying for it. They're the ones who are receiving the kid back home. They're the ones that are being impacted indirectly, albeit by the camp experience. If the kid comes home and they had a terrible experience, it's the parents who are going to get upset. And most specifically, it's Mama Bear. Because when we do these parent surveys, it's over 80% of the respondents are mom.
They're moms, that's right.
Now, of course, not every kid has a household where they're living with a mom. And so we get, you know, responses from fathers, we get responses from grandparents, we get responses from foster parents, legal guardians, aunts, uncles, things like that. But the overwhelming majority, you know, 80% for some camps, it's 85% are mothers that are responding. And so these are your primary clients. And keeping that in mind is important as we think about how we're structuring our marketing, but also how we're structuring our program. Because we're not just trying to impact these young people that are coming to camp. We're impacting a family and a family system. And so always having an eye toward the home is really important. And the parent survey can help us get there. And so if you're not doing a parent survey, do it. It is so easy because it can be done online. You're already doing your registrations online. You're already sending messages to parents. You've got online portals. Get a parent survey going. And if you need help, let us know. But I want to talk about some of the things that we found throughout camps across the country, because there's some interesting trends that I think all of us in camping ministry and in congregational ministry can learn from.
All right, set the table for us. Who did this survey this summer? You know, like, how many camps are we talking about? What else do we know? Is this across denominations? Is this across, you know, geography, all that, to set the table for us with this parent survey?
This was our largest year of the parent survey. We had 37 different camps participate, and they're in states across the country. I didn't count the number of states, but it's at least 20, 25. It's in all areas of the country. So one of the studies that we did this year was we did a random sample of United Methodist camps across the country. So we've got United Methodist camps in all different regions of the country. They're jurisdictions, they call them. And then we have other camps in other areas of the country as well, cross-denominational. So we've got Lutherans, we've got Episcopalian, we've got United Methodists, we've got American Baptist, we've got non-denominational camps. So there's a lot of different camps that are represented here. And what's interesting is you can see the trends across the parent survey reports, right? So a lot of the themes that we'll see in individual camp reports will be repeated in multiple camps across the country. And so when we look at the data set as a whole, we can see this isn't just happening, you know, in the Southeast or in the Midwest or in the West. This is happening across the country. There are major trends that we need to be aware of in camping ministry.
Okay, so that's helpful. Sidebar before we kind of really dive into what we found. I would be curious if I were listening, and it has been interesting for me to learn more too, right? So you get all this data. Can you give us just a quick, like, how do we turn, we say this all the time, right? We turn data into stories. We turn numbers into stories, because what actually matters is when you learn something, when you can take all this data and you look at it and you start to see things, what that actually does for us is starts to tell stories that help us make decisions, help us make more informed decisions. Which means that we can do things like staffing and programming on purpose based on what we know and what we've learned and what we continue to learn versus, hey, let's just try that, right? So we combine that information with innovation to get to really good people and really good programs. When we get all this data, What are we looking for, right? Because there's all these stats. When we talked about like what we're going to talk about today, how do we pick those? So what are we looking for when we see that data?
As you said, we're trying to tell a story here. We're trying to see the picture in a broad sense, but also in a very specific sense, because each of the respondents, and we've got more than 2,000 respondents. It's like 2,500 different parent responses that we're talking about here. So this is a big number of responses. Each individual that responds is a story. They had a particular experience in a particular place and time, and that experience is now being interpreted through the lens of the parent, right? Through our primary constituents lens. And so we take them case by case in that sense, because we don't just ask, you know, what we call quantitative questions, where you give a number, you know, on an agreement scale. We ask those questions to get percentages, but we also ask open-ended questions that really get at the experience. And so, and we read through all of those. So we're reading through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of open-ended responses. And so the stories that we're telling today are actual stories that we read when we were going through the survey. Mm-hmm. We can also put those in context. And so if we've got a parent that is really upset about, you know, the state of the bathrooms at your camp, and they're just really ticked off about that, and you're like, oh wow, this must be a major problem because this parent is really upset. And then you can see in the percentages where we specifically ask about the facilities, like we ask a specific question about the facilities, and you can see what percentage of parents had concerns about the facilities there. And so it might be 98% were satisfied with how the facilities were. And it was like, oh, well, maybe this parent's kid went in the bathroom after, you know, a group just totally terrorized the place and before the cleaning crew came in after that. So, you know, like, so you can kind of say, okay, what's an isolated incident that we need to address personally? And what's like a systemic problem? And so if you've got multiple comments about your facilities and you also have, you know, numbers where it's, you know, 25% or more are dissatisfied with the state of your facilities, then you've got a problem because that's clearly something systemic there. Right?
Okay, so that's interesting. That's one thing is sort of taking these, you know, the actual comments and responses, looking at the numbers to see how those compare. Yep. So that's an interesting data analysis thing.
Yeah, we got to put it in context.
Right.
Yeah. So think about things like the comments that parents get that you get as a camp director, where you are the parents are hiding cell phones in the luggage, right? And they say, right, why can't my kid have a cell phone at camp? And you think this is on fire. Oh my gosh, we got to start allowing cell phones at camp. And then you see the numbers from the survey that say 95% of parents do not want cell phones at camp. Mm-hmm. And so if you respond based on just the comments that you receive and just the complaints you receive, you're not able to put that in context. So always trying to put the comments in context with the actual numbers. And the parent survey really helps us do that.
That makes sense. So those numbers and stories are a thing we look for, how those compare. And we look for extremes, of course, right? We look when you're looking at something that is either really low, 1-2% of something, or really high, 97, 98, 99, 100% sometimes, which we saw a little bit on the cell phone one, for example, that we look for those things. One, to make sure that the data is making sense, but then two, you know, if there's either such clear agreement or such clear disagreement with something, often that, you know, an interesting piece for us to highlight. And then, you know, we talked about trends over time, right? So whether we actually get to compare year over year or see the changes, especially this one, right? It's part of why we do three surveys for campers: before, after, and then 8 weeks after. So then we can see what we're actually looking for is trajectory and change and things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It helps us measure change, right? And and the nice thing about the parent survey, it's sent out the week or the second week after the kid returns home. And so it's all fresh in the parents' minds. How is the kid acting? How are they interacting? What differences do the parents notice, if any? And so we ask about specific differences that we've identified in previous surveys where they've used open-ended comments. And so we say, oh, okay, some of the kids are spending less time on electronics, according to parents. Let's find out how many. And so we ask that specifically, you know, is your kid spending less time on electronics?
Sure.
And different things like that. That really helps us measure those impacts and how broad those impacts are.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks for that sidebar, because that's you know, has been interesting for me to keep diving into is what's that actually like? What is that? How does that some of that data analysis actually work, because we've said a lot, right? We don't want it to just stop at numbers. We want it to tell stories. We want to use it to generate insights that can help us make decisions. So thanks for, you know, flexing that PhD a little bit and you know, and running us through kind of how that really works. Oh my word, I remember this one summer at camp. Do you have a story that starts like that? Everybody's got a good camp story to share. We're going to create some space right here on the Sacred Playgrounds podcast to share some of those camp stories. Maybe they are crazy, maybe they're an incredible God moment, maybe they're hilarious or inspiring or altogether unbelievable. We'd love to hear your camp story. So all you do to submit it is fill out a quick form at sacredplaygrounds.com/campstory. Share a couple of words, and then there's a spot right there to attach your audio recording file of 2 minutes or less, and there's a chance that could get featured here on the podcast. We'd love to hear your story. It's a really good one. Overall, with these parents, the overall experience continues to be positive experience. Camp continues to have impact overall, right?
Yeah. You know what? I think if we're looking at trends this year, I think there are four big things that we want to highlight. And the first one is exactly what you said, that there are a lot of positives right now. And we can see that through the parent survey and these numbers that we see in terms of percentages of parents that said their kid had a great time at camp, that said mm-hmm. they grew in their faith, and all these different things. And so, I mean, whenever we see negatives, we always want to put them in context with the positives, because our eyes tend to go to the negatives, right? We dart immediately to that complaint. And let's keep this all in context, because we just came through COVID, or are we still in COVID, right? It seemed like we were still in COVID for a lot of our camps, because mm-hmm. some of them had to cancel programs or do different things like that because of the COVID-19 pandemic still. And so there's been a lot of adversity. There's been a lot of challenges. Feels like everything's on fire. So many people are stressed. And 93% of kids tried something new at camp. 91% mm-hmm. made a new friend. 85% of parents said their child grew in self-confidence. 84% said that their child grew in faith. In the weeks following camp, over a third, 34% of parents said they were having conversations about God and faith with their kid more frequently. Mm. 41% said their child has been nicer to family members in the weeks following camp. You're having a real impact.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can see that just in some of these quick numbers, and we've got lots of numbers like this, right? 85%, 90%, 95% agreeing with some of these positive changes and some of these positive experiences. And so we can really feel good about camp is still mm-hmm. doing the great things that we know it does. And it's doing this for the vast majority of the young people that are attending camp. That's number one. And I always want to start there.
Yeah, that's great news, because those things that you talked about are at the heart of almost all of our mission statements, right? That's what we're doing. That's what we're here for. And so to see such high percentages is such good news. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So there's one.
Yeah.
What else is interesting? And again, when you talk about this data analysis stuff, this is the stuff we're looking for. What is particularly similar or particularly different or particularly striking, surprising, you know, different over time? So a few of these other things came out too.
Yeah. You know, I think to stay positive, I think I'll go with number two, being philosophy is still resonating with parents. And so I mean, to unpack this a little bit, like, let's think about how everybody is thinking that we need to change now that we're post-pandemic. Everything needs to innovate in a new way. We need to do something differently. How are we going to do camp differently now with the pandemic? There are some things that we need to change. We've talked about this in the past, right? We need to provide more mental health resources, for example, because there's a mental health crisis right now. That's something that's a positive change that we can make. But the core of what makes camp the camp experience, in terms of being faith-centered, being unplugged from home, providing new participatory experiences, being intensely relational, providing that safe space for kids. You know, those fundamentals are still identified by parents as the most important things of camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I've said this before, and we see it again with the data set this year. The thing that parents agree with the most on our camp survey consistently is camp is a place to unplug from technology. This year, 37 camps, 2,500 parents, it was 97% of parents agreed with that statement, mm-hmm. that camp is a place to unplug from technology. And so we see these agreement levels with some of the basics of camp staying really high, that I want my child to make new friends, or camp is a place to make new friends and develop social skills, that camp is a place to have fun, that faith formation should be incorporated into all aspects of camp. These numbers are still overwhelmingly high.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can feel good that the camp model is still there and it's still working. And this is what parents are after. Parents are after what you're selling. Okay. So post-pandemic, post-social isolation, post having everything moved to screen time, parents want for their children time away, away from home, away from electronics, and plugged into an atmosphere that is intensely relational and surrounded by people of faith. So we can see this definitely on display in the parent survey. So we can feel good about that. So those are my two positives that I want to lift up.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's really good news because, like you said, because they're so foundational to our identity and they match so much with what we have learned from the, you know, foundational effective camp study is really important for the effectiveness of camp. They're in line. So that's good news. That we don't have to completely reform, rethink, do everything differently. We can be who we are and be really good at who we are. And that matches with what parents want. That's great news.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
We can tweak and adjust and learn from kind of these other couple things to pay attention to what else is important to them and, you know, make some adjustments. And so what else have we got?
Yeah, there are some trends that are, you know, we can say that camp is still the thing that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some trends that say maybe we need to change some of the ways that we're doing things. And the most common open-ended comment that we got, the most common theme that we got is on communication. And it's communication while the kid is at camp. This isn't like pre-camp preparation stuff.
Sure.
You know, most camps were doing really well on that. The one aspect that camper parents were consistently dissatisfied with was communication with the parents while the child was at camp. And so we can see this as a trend in society as parents have more contact with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not the latchkey generation. Like when we grew up and the parents left and we were right on our own. I mean, it was Lord of the Flies, right? Like we could go out, we could stay out late. And the parents, you know, that was a common, you know, comic strip thing or a theme in movies and TV shows where the parent is up late worried about the kid. Where's my kid? When is my kid going to be home? I haven't heard from them. They show up at 1:00 a.m. and the kid is fine and the parent can finally go to sleep, right? So there's these anxiety things from the 80s, 90s that parents don't have to deal with anymore. Like they're used to having their kids with them all the time, or if they're not at arm's reach, they're at least within technology's reach. And so they can use Find My Phone app and find where their kid is at all times. They can check in. When are you going to be home? And then at least get a text message if the kid's not going to be home till 1 a.m. So the parents are so used to having this that camp is a real shocker. And it really used to be in the camping community that we would say things like, parents just need to get over this. Like they just need a deal.
Just trust us. They're fine.
Yes, exactly.
It's healthy for them too, to detach for a while.
And that's true. That's true. And you see that in the survey. You know, we have a question in the survey. We ask the agreement level of an added benefit of the camp experience is a chance for parents to be away from their children. And it's about half that agree with that, right? And so like parents see that as a benefit. For them to be away from their kids, for the kids to be away from home. Like these are benefits that they see, but they want to know what's going on. They want to know that their kid is safe. And here's the big thing, right? not only do they want updates, but if something happens at camp that the parent thinks they should hear about, they expect to have heard about that. Now, you can't read the parent's mind. You don't know the tolerance level, right? Some parents want to hear about anything that abnormal that happens to their kid. If their kid went to the nurse and got a Band-Aid on their thumb, they want to know about it, right? And there are other parents, what are you bothering me for about this for? So that's a difficult thing to navigate, right? But certainly, if their kid experienced bullying, if their kid was injured in any sort of significant way, you know, if a parent shows up on the last day of camp and they see a big Band-Aid on their kid's forehead, you know, where they hit their head and had a big goose egg, they're going to be upset that you didn't tell them about that. Mm-hmm. You need to prepare them for something like that. Whereas if a parent was notified, they said, well, you know, they were having fun. They did this activity and they got injured, but thanks for letting me know. You know, they just want to know. And so this communication thing is actually really complicated because it's difficult to navigate. And camps are not good at this. Most camps are not good at this at all. We're used to taking the kids, taking care of them, not seeing the parents until the end of the week when they come and pick them up. And then we say, okay, this is what happened this week. And, you know, like, but parents want constant updates. A lot of camps, what they've done is they've taken to using online programs where they can post pictures or even videos. And usually it's a secure server where they can put things up like that. And so here's the challenge, right? All right, you ready for this one? So you as a camp director, Jared, you've got this system in place, and you've got somebody on staff that's going out and taking pictures of everybody. And the complaint that you get from parents is there weren't enough pictures of my child. I saw all these other kids, but I didn't see my child. Wait for it. The pictures that I saw of my child, they weren't smiling. That's what you'll get.
You will.
My kid wasn't smiling. And I was worried that they weren't having a good time. We know that's a parent problem, right? That's a parent problem. But what we have to do as camp professionals is separate some of those things. What are parent problems and how do we handle those things? Because our primary constituents are the parents. So helping them through this is going to be an important thing. Like, we can say this is a healthy thing for you, you know? Here's a resource to help you be away from your kid for a little while. And it really is important to communicate really well during the week and provide them that access, because not every parent's going to take advantage of it, right? Some parents aren't going to go to that online portal until the end of the week, and then they're going to order a few good pictures of their kid, right?
Yeah. Yep. It's our job to create the space. That's about as much control as we have, and we can do that. We can create that space, and it's a good thing too, right? Because we want these pictures and videos. We want to be able to put those in our social spaces. We want to use them, you know, in marketing things when we can. And we've got lots of good stories to tell, yes, to those parents, but yes, about the overall experience. And so the good news from that communication standpoint is, similarly to how their kid is just a technology piece away, that's also where there are lots of spaces we can place these stories. And so it's a, like you said, it can be a complicated pathway, but it's a relatively easy fix in terms of, we're doing a lot of that already. If we can offer them into a couple spaces where they can have access. I connected with one camp that are building a parent dashboard for each of their camps, and they're going to have it's going to be single landing page, and they're each going to get, at the beginning of the week, they're going to get access, and that's going to have all of their actual information that they need. They can click their registration button from there and can also click to get updates right there.
This is good. So, I mean, you have to do it, right? And you have to do it well. You can't just put a dashboard and say, there it is. It has to be updated daily. And this takes staff time. It really does. Mm-hmm. And it's worth the investment. It really is, because it's a contract, right? We're negotiating a contract with these parents. We're going to take care of your kids. And we're going to provide this space where you can check in and you can get updates. Well, then you better do it, because that's part of the contract and that's part of the trust. I'm entrusting my kids to you with the expectation that I'm going to get these updates. So
the positive reality that comes out of that is that those are the kinds of things that solidify coming back, that make it so a parent can look back at those things, can look back and see and ask, and even can facilitate things like questions. Hey, I saw that you were doing this. What was that like? That looked really fun. What were you doing? So can facilitate some of those, jump some of those barriers of, did you have fun at camp? Or yeah, how was it? Good. Right. So there's, you can, you know, those important questions and those important follow-ups that can help with some of that. So that's got some, you know, some positive sort of fallout there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So communication was a main theme, to simply say parents want and need more communication from camp, specifically while their kids are at camp. That's clear.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
That is clear. And it's becoming more of a thing. It's becoming more serious. This isn't going away, right?
Yeah.
It's increasing. The amount of communication that they need is increasing.
Yeah.
And this is where we see some changes in some of the other perceptions about something like cell phones, right? So I gave you, I said 95% or something like that, but it's actually gone down, the number that disagree that cell phones should be allowed at camp. It's ticking up a little bit, and it's directly associated with not hearing from their kid.
With that communication.
And so it's not that they want their kid to have the cell phone. It's that they want communication.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing to remember. So as some of these other numbers go up, it's directly associated with the kid's experience and the parent's experience.
Yeah.
So we need to find alternative ways to do that.
And we can. So there was, you know, kind of one or two more themes that we've been seeing in these parent reports.
Yeah. You know, like, I think one of the things that I want to point out, and, you know, I always like to lead with the positive, but there were also some negatives that we saw, and more negatives than we've seen in the past. And I want to be honest about that. And it's not just at a few camps, it's at a lot of camps. And so we've always asked this one question: rate the camp experience on a scale of 1 was the worst experience imaginable to 10 was a superior experience, was amazing. And we're used to those averages being 9.2, 9.3, something like that. You know, the majority of people giving it a 10 or a 9 or an 8. And in general, if you get a 7, they're probably not coming back. That's where we start to get comments like, it just wasn't what we hoped for. You know, it wasn't bad. We maybe will be back, but it wasn't what we hoped for. That's kind of where the 7 is. If you sort of think of it in terms of a grade scale, you know, and if the 70% is a C, like, you don't want a bunch of C's, you know, you want this experience to be a B+ or an A, right?
Yeah.
And so we saw very few in the past, you know, when we did this 2019 and earlier, we saw very few that were kind of 6s or 5s, you know, 5 is an F, that's a solid F, right? And so in all of those thousands of parent surveys that we did in 2019 and earlier, it was 2% or 3% that gave it a 5 or a less. We almost never saw 1s and 2s. And we sort of assumed that a 1 and a 2, that means that the kid was like lost in the woods and you haven't found them yet. You know, like the parent shows up and says, where's my kid? We're like, oh, we don't know. He's been gone since Tuesday. You know, you know, we sort of thought that was like the 1, because we didn't really know. Like, nobody gives it a 1. This year we saw some 1s and 2s and 3s.
Uh-huh.
And so then the percentage doubled that gave it a 5 or less. So it's up to 5% this year. And again, okay, 95% gave it a higher mark, right? And so we still, the vast majority had positive experiences, but some of these negative experiences are creeping up. And here's what happens. One negative experience, you know, if it's a 7, they're like, oh, it wasn't that good. But if it's a 3 or a 2 or a 1, they're telling all their friends about it. They don't want anything to do with you ever again. And parents talk to each other, you know? And so this is a serious problem where you need to get ahead of these things and you need to address them. And so we see the poor experiences mostly associated with social challenges, specifically bullying. And so it was 7% of parents agreed that my child was picked on or left out at camp this summer. So, you know, obviously most of them weren't, but that's a pretty high percentage.
It is.
When you think of...
when your hope is 0.
Yeah, right. When your hope is 0.
And your expectation of what you build for is 0. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, when you think of, you know, 1 out of 14, 1 out of 15 kids is feeling picked on or left out. I mean, that's a lot. And so, and obviously at some camps it was higher than others.
Sure.
And And this is related to staffing. So a lot of parents in the open-ended comments directly related it to the staff training and the maturity of the staff. So here's the thing. Like, parents know that kids are mean, right? And so they know that that's going to happen. And a lot of them are willing to accept that if it's handled well. And so if there's a personality conflict, or there's something that could be construed as bullying, because bullying, I mean, it's a four-letter word, right? Like, people define it how they want to define it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say the word bullying, that's the B word. That's a bad thing, right? And so one kid might interpret something as getting bullied. Another kid might interpret it as razzing. It's all about how it's handled. It's context,
whatever it is.
So if kids aren't getting along, or they're picking on somebody, how is the counselor handling it? Is there conflict resolution going on? Are they trained to do this? Are they equipped to do this? Are there enough staff to help with this? Like, if there's a real serious problem, because sometimes there's really serious problems, is there a process in place to send a camper home, or to go before somebody who's, you know, got more training and can really handle some of these interpersonal conflict and come to some sort of resolution where there's forgiveness and reconciliation? And if you can't reach that point, then to send the child home. And because a lot of our camps were short-staffed this past summer, a lot of them weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so counselors that were already stressed were expected to handle some of these situations that they weren't equipped to handle. And that's very clear in the parent comments. And they essentially accuse the camp of that, you know? Like, right. you didn't have enough staff. You didn't train your staff well. This counselor blew it, and the supervisor didn't take care of it. So it becomes a systemic breakdown. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you start to get the ones, twos, and threes, because it's, you know, from a parent's perspective, it's as bad as you lost them in the woods, you know, like, because now they had this terrible experience, and I paid however much money your camp costs to send my kid there, hoping that they were going to have this, at least a lot of fun, you know,
right.
If not a transformative experience, you know,
and be safe, right? It's those main, I mean, we brought them up at the beginning, right? Our top expectations as parents are sort of three things, right? They're that they are going to have fun, that they are going to be safe, and that they'll learn a little bit about Jesus.
Right? Yep.
Those are about it. But when some of those break down, and especially a couple of those break down, the safety piece in particular, that is a deal breaker,
yep.
Right? That is a, you know, 0 to 60 for us from a upset and broken expectations standpoint as parents.
Yeah. So we really need to get ahead of this. Mm-hmm. And remember that it's the parent perspective that matters. I always say, you know, a parent decides within the first 30 seconds of seeing their kid on the last day of camp, what they're going to rate it. If they've got a smile on their face and they're safe, it can't be lower than an 8
mm-hmm.
on that scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. I remember reading, you know, as I read through some of those open-ended comments as well, there were ones about their conversation on the car ride home.
Yeah.
Right then. And that's where, as we drove home, my kid told me, da 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 da. And it's,
I love
right
that. Then. Thanks for bringing that up, because the car ride home is what I want camp counselors to think about, camp directors to think about. Like, that is a space of impact. You know, what is the conversation going to be in the car ride home? Because that's part of the transition, where we make this week-long experience or two-week-long experience or whatever the session was, you know, we bring that home, you know, quite literally, try to bring it from an immediate experience to a more lasting experience. How is this going to impact my life now? And that transitional space is where you start to negotiate those sorts of things in your head.
All right, so one more quick one, speaking of home, because one other trend that we were seeing is around family faith practices and what's going on at this home that we are all trying to impact.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. You know, I said I was going to do 4, but let's do 5. That's an important one to think about
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it really used to be when kids came to camp, the vast majority of them were kids that went to church and they were Christian. And we could kind of assume that they knew things like the Lord's Prayer. And so you didn't have to write that out, or they said grace around mealtime. So you did a funny grace, like the Superman grace or the Addams Family grace or whatever, right? There's all these goofy graces to show that, oh, you don't have to just fold your hands and bow your head when you say grace. You can do it. It can be fun too. You know, it was supposed to be a paradigm shift for the kids, but you can't do that as a paradigm shift if they're not praying at home in the first place, right?
Sure.
If they're not saying grace. And so we saw a transition this year that's really important, and it has to do with mealtime prayer. So I want to focus on this, because we can talk about all the different faith practices, but I want to focus on mealtime prayer, because this is one that you can really make a difference Here's the transition that happened. We ask how frequently the family prays at mealtimes. From not at all to, you know, only on special occasions like Thanksgiving, you know, maybe monthly, maybe weekly, you know, multiple times per week. Not every family is going to be together enough to do it every day, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So just looking at those that pray more than weekly, that was always over 50%. And if you add in the ones that pray at least weekly, and you know, maybe they're praying on Sundays together when they have a dinner together, you know, then it's up to 60, 65, 70%. This year it changed. This year was the first year it was below 50%. Now that's an important threshold, because that means that less than half of our campers that are coming to Christian camps are praying at mealtimes, like the most basic time to pray,
right,
and offer thanks to God. When you look at things like praying at other times besides meal time, say at bedtime, something like that, with their parents, the number goes way, way down. Mm-hmm. You're looking at maybe a third that pray together.
Yeah.
And so church attendance as well, the mm-hmm. frequency has gone down consistently. And this year we saw it go down again drastically. And so you got a third of the kids that came to camp, these Christian camps this summer, that attended church less than monthly. Or not at all.
Sure.
You know, so these are not regular attendees in any way, shape, or form, right? But it's the grace at mealtimes that I think should shock us and help us to change our understanding of how we are doing things at camp. Because we need to change from the paradigm of, you know, we're supporting these faith practices that are already happening in the home to we are teaching these faith practices. And we want the kids to go home and teach these faith practices to their parents because it's meaningful. It's meaningful to return grace to God and to say thanks for the meal.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can teach that in a way that they can take it home, then we can get families praying together. That can be a huge impact.
Huge.
Yep. And it's not just, oh, the kid's going to sing some goofy grace and okay, now we're going to do our regular family prayers now. No, because they don't have regular family prayers. There is no regular family prayer. That's what we need to help them develop. And we can intentionally program for that at camp.
We can. Yep. Yep. Those are great examples. And those are the kinds of things that, to your last point there, if we're going to give us two action steps here, right? So whether you actually have data like this, right? Whether you know, you're one who has either worked with us or done your own or whatever with some of these reports, pay attention to them. Take what you learned and do something with it programmatically. Incorporate it into program or into training or both. Right, those are main spaces that we can make some of this happen. So there's one. Two, if you want to see some of this, by the way, if you don't have reports like this, we're gonna put a sample report of this, you know, these parent reports that we do. We're gonna put that in the show notes. So you can download a sample and see what this stuff looks like, see what these numbers look like, see how we kind of visualize that data, and so you can do that. If that's helpful, you can download a sample. Thanks, Jake. I know there's tons that we could unpack here, right? I mean, it was hard. It always is. Whenever we do this, it's hard to go, oh, what? How are we gonna?
See, you got me going, and that means we go long. You know, you got me going, and I got talking, and we went from four to five different things. Like I could keep going. You know, there's so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
But these are fresh findings, right? These are hot off the press.
Very hot.
These
off
are
the
things
press.
That are actionable right now. Mm-hmm. In terms of improving your communication with parents during the week, you can put that system in place now. How are we going to handle bullying? Put that system in place now. How are we going to increase family prayer? You can put that in place now. So you got some serious action steps here.
Good news. Hey, if you're coming to one of these conferences coming up, make sure you come say hi. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time on the Sacred Playgrounds podcast. Thanks for listening to the Sacred Playgrounds podcast. This episode was produced by me, Jared Rendell, and featured Dr. Jake Sorensen, lead researcher and founder at Sacred Playgrounds, LLC. Our theme music was written and performed by Taylor Wilson. You can find his original songs wherever you get your music. Learn more and connect with the Sacred Playgrounds team at sacredplaygrounds.com.